By the way, does everyone have pledge cards in their programs? Are they in the programs, those pledge card things? That's good, because that's a major part of what we're looking at this season. We know that there are needs around the world, in Haiti, in places like this, and we are such a focused church to help bless people around the world. But as we've explained during the season, this is just a wonderful time to where investment in a new facility at this time at the life of New Life Church is an investment to help those that are in need and the poor long term. Because as we have the facilities and the place to really invest into the health and the growth of our church here as a whole, it's just going to have an impact around the world. And there is a direct connection between those two. So we'd ask that you'd be prayerfully looking at this and looking at this pledge card. We know some of you have already turned these in. And it's just a supplemental help to help us reach some of these financial goals that we have that God has placed before us. And we know that he's going to help us do these things. We're very aware of the economy. We're aware that jobs are on the uptick right now. If you didn't know that, it's true. It might not be true in your world, but it is a reality. And why do I bring all this stuff up in this context? Because we're going to be looking at A Christmas Carol today. And this, the idea of the economy and this time, and when Dickens wrote this story, and there were financial issues, economic issues, and issues of generosity and stuff like that, it hasn't really changed a whole lot. And so that's why it's a direct connection to us right here, right now. You know, I actually just yesterday ran into someone. Actually, it was my son-in-law, which I just adore this guy. He had never seen Raiders of the Lost Ark. I mean, this guy's like 33 years old. How many have not ever seen Raiders of the Lost Ark in the room here? There's not one hand in the, well, maybe one or two. Okay. And, you know, and he had never seen the movie It's a Wonderful Life either, you know? And so, you know, it's just kind of amazing. How many of you have never heard of the story A Christmas Carol? I mean, it's just pretty well known. It's what you call classics. And the story Christmas Carol has been told so many times. I was looking on the internet on this, how many different actors have done this over the years. And, you know, just recent memory, you've had George C. Scott, you've had Kelsey Grammer, and then more high-end actors like, Donald Duck, you know, and Mr. Magoo. Has also been, that's been portrayed. I don't know, did Mickey Mouse, or was missing Mickey Mouse with the Donald Duck portrayal? I don't remember. But there's been tons and tons of the story has been retold time after time after time. And I think the reason why the story has been told so much is for this one reason. The truth behind it is real. There is something there that is true, and it hits to the heart of each one of us. We're in a series right now on classic Christmas stories, and last week we did look at It's a Wonderful Life and how God does have a plan for your life. This week, the whole thing here is change. The whole thing is God can change anybody if people are willing to do that. Now, when Charles Dickens wrote this story, he wrote it for one reason. He needed money, and that was one of his motivators on this. But he also saw just the abject poverty around him. And he is basically the one who invented what we call Christmas today. Christmas is really on the downswing at this time in England, where he wrote. In the early 1800s, it was the industrial age. People never had any time off. And also you'd had Oliver Cromwell in the century before, and you had the idea of the Reformed Church and the Puritans, who saw anything symbolic of any kind of other type thing. Because, you know, part of the Christmas deal is like the Yule tide type stuff from Germanic tribes. And you also had, you know, some ancient Roman, Saturnia god, and that was December 25th, so therefore this whole thing's pagan or whatever. And yet the church has always been really wise on this, which is basically this. God created every day of the year. I don't care if some pagan group said this is our sacred day. We're going to use it for whatever we want to use it for. And that's what the church has always been. And so But because of some of those concerns, it kind of went. And then Charles Dickens came out with this story in the early 1840s, and it just transformed the whole idea of what's behind Christmas to where we have what's today. Because it used to be 12 days of Christmas, and now it's like two, isn't it? It's like Christmas Eve, Christmas, then we're on to the bowl games, right? And so, and waiting for the Visa card bill that's coming in January. And so, but all of this type of stuff really came out of him, but he wrote this story to try to create a factor of generosity. This is a great time of year to have generosity toward other people. And so he wrote it in the form of a tale that we all can kind of relate with, and the idea that the people can be changed. The interesting thing about A Christmas Carol and what we're looking at today is really which character do we most identify with, and which character did Charles Dickens want us to identify with? Because when you write a story like this, what you decide to do is you decide to create a radical character of the type of characteristics that might be common with all of us. And so you have a gentleman named Ebenezer Scrooge, and very, very, very fascinating guy. I have a description here, Charles Dickens' own words, is he says, he describes Ebenezer Scrooge as a squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner. And that's who this guy was. And yet, when we look at some of the characteristics of who he is, and when we look in context of who Jesus is and why he came here, I think what we're going to find is there are some maybe Scrooge-like characteristics in all of us that we need to work on and that God needs to help us with. Let's look at our outline here just for a minute. It says in John 12:46, Jesus said, I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer wander in darkness. And that's the main reason he came. And so when we look at the tale of Scrooge, we look at the idea of A Christmas Carol, really what we see are contrast in darkness and contrast in light, and how that fits for each one of us within our lives here. And so let's look at this in context of dark, dawn, and light. Because really there's three stories of Scrooge here. And the first one that we have is the very first example where it says here under dark, it's his first life. And basically he's just dead. He's still functioning, but Scrooge is dead. And the quote from the book is this: darkness is cheap, and Scrooge liked it. I just love that description of him. And all the way through the story, you see different reactions to what he have toward other people. One of his only relatives that came around to him talked about what a wonderful season this is, how generous this season could be. And this is Scrooge's reaction. If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips would be boiled in his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. Wow. You know, very contrasting just how brutal and how honest he is with who he is. You see, I think what I want to talk about just a little bit today is Californians, we're just have a little bit more finesse in our Scrooge-ness. We're just a little bit more, we don't want anyone ever to think that we're tightwads or that we're greedy or that we don't care about other people. We might feel that way. We just don't want anyone ever to think that about us. Scrooge just didn't care. He could care less what people thought of him, and he was just pretty blatant about that. And so this is the whole idea of dark. He had no idea really just how depraved his life was. And Dickens goes into great detail to describe the character of who Scrooge is. He's become so memorable for each one of us. and we understand this guy really, really well. The problem is, we all look at him and go, oh, what a horrible person. But we never make the connection of what the author was trying to say, and that is that we are, all of us, in some way, attracted to part of what Scrooge is. We all have, in some ways, some Scrooge-like characteristics. I don't know if you, how well you know the story. You know, you might want to think you're Bob Cratchit and just kind of this, you know, humble little guy, or even Tiny Tim or whatever. But really, when it boils down to it, who we laugh at and where we see the issues is with Scrooge. And, you know, the person that we react against the most is usually the one where we have characteristics like that person. Have you ever seen someone who you know is kind of arrogant and they're sitting there railing on someone else? Oh, that person over there is so stuck on themselves. And you're just sitting there looking at them going, really? Don't you see that same thing going on in you? Now, what I'm not saying is that we're not all this brutally mean as Ebenezer is, but there could be a characteristic here that can be a part of all of who we are. And so how do we Scrooge up our lives is the question here for us. And just a couple of suggestions for you in this Christmas season of how this thing fits for us. By loving comfort more than truth. This is how it fits into our culture here. Again, Dickens uses radical contrast as a literary style to show what Scrooge is like compared to what someone should be like. Now, Dickens is no saint. He knew his Bible pretty well, and he understood the basic impact of what the gospel was, and he wrote this in the form of a tale, of a fable almost, using the spirits of Christmas, not bringing out the name Jesus Christ per se, but really, this is a story about redemption. It's a story about salvation, but in order to have salvation, you have to have a Savior. You can't just have a fantasy Christmas spirit. You have to have a true Savior here. And I think Scrooge understood that at a deep level. And really, the issue here for us is we want God to conform to our idea of comfort. And so let's take the brutalness of Scrooge out of this. And in its place, let's just put something cozy. Let's put a cozy fire and, you know, chestnuts roasting over this open fire. And you have hot chocolate and you have maybe a family scenario, or you could have a group of friends and you're just sitting around and you're just with each other and it's just warm and Christmassy and, you know, Coca-Cola is on the counter. I don't know why Coke and Christmas go together, but you have Santa with a bottle of Coca-Cola. I never see it more at Christmas time, okay? So you have that there, and just to plug, you have crab out there, you know, on the table, okay? Yeah, that's good. And, all right, and you have all this stuff going, and it all just looks great and cozy and warm. This is the time of year where you just define of what life should be like and what it should all be like, and all those things can be wonderful and good and nice, except it could be in your own little world, and you really don't care about anyone else outside your own little bubble of what would be cool and comfortable and cozy and nice. See? And really, who is like that? Scrooge. He says, it's my business. I'll do whatever I want with my business. You do whatever you want with your business. In fact, I had a quote like that here somewhere. He said, I'll get to it later. But he said something about, this is the time of year where we deal with the business of the needs of other people. And he says, my business is my business. Their business is their business. I pay tax. Don't we have poor houses for people like that? And so, but what we can do by our actions, we can maybe put a coin into the Salvation Army thing as we're going into a grocery store and then just spend hundreds, thousands of dollars, some people, on each other. And I'm not condemning any of this type thing. I'm saying the cozy, the comfortable, the cool, just the really neat thing, just me and my family, just me and my friends and whatever, all of that in itself can be fine, it can be good, but it can also be bad if it's I want what's good for me and mine, and God, thank you for what you've done for me and mine. But really, when it comes down to the actions of your real time and your real financial resources, it's like you just throw a token out there, just to flip a coin at someone to where you're kind of feeling okay about yourself, but not really doing anything. You see, that's the whole Scrooge thing that we need to learn to recognize within ourselves. Look, the scriptures here says, the world loves darkness and hates the light. And what this passage here means is people get offended if you bring up stuff like this. If you bring up, in American culture, if you ever bring up anything about the family, if you ever bring up anything about money, people get really offended really quick. Isn't that true? And so why is that? It's not that way in a lot of other cultures. We're a capitalist culture. We're a culture of consumers. We're a culture that have more cash than any other culture ever. We're the wealthiest culture ever. And we have this idea behind that, same idea Scrooge had, which is, look, I've sacrificed, I've scrimped, I've worked hard to get where I'm at. And if these other people are out there wasting their life on friendships and family with each other while I'm toiling away here, so be it. But that's why they're poor and I'm rich. You know, and we might not think that per se, but what we can do is we see people that are in need in our community. How could anyone ever be in need in our community? You know, can't you just work hard? There's jobs out there. And you have this mindset of just kind of writing people off because you have a cultural understanding of what happens for wealth and what happens for people that are in poverty. And the Word of God is kind of against that idea. In fact, it's very clear on that. And so in this whole first point here, there's another passage in Matthew 2, 2, and 3. And it's the idea that there's a star in the sky and Jesus is coming. And here it says this, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, no, the Magi asked that question. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And the question is why? Question's why? It's because Jesus, if he was who they were claiming he was going to be, was going to disrupt their whole system of how things were going. You had Herod who kind of had this whole system set up where he could kind of get what he wanted to get and he could get the wealth and stuff. You had a whole religious system set up. You had all these people had this comfortable little thing and Jesus was going to come in and he's going to disrupt that whole thing. But that's exactly what had to happen to Scrooge, isn't it? Scrooge was miserable. And he didn't even understand how miserable he was until, I would call it, the mercy of God came into his life and he disrupted areas that he was completely blind to. And what I'm submitting to us here, whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, is there might be a characteristic, there might be an attitude, a blind spot in our lives where we are Scrooge-like. And it might take the Holy Spirit coming in and disrupting us in order to get us to truly open our eyes. Like I said, the major issue in the 21st century American church, the number one issue, characteristic issue of spiritual growth is going to be spiritual stewardship. And I've never been this direct before, shame on me maybe, but it's concerning to me that there have been so many at New Life who have been here for so many years and you've never stepped over the threshold of faith to begin to be basically the most basic level of obedience when it comes to your time and to your financial resources. And it's just become an alarm in the back of my mind. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with your obedience. Because it is just one of the most basic things that there is. But Jesus will come in and he'll disrupt and he will do these things in our lives that he did in Scrooge's life. And then the other one, by putting our trust in our plans more than God's plans. That's how we can kind of have a Scrooge-like attitude within our own hearts and within our own lives. The word says here, for the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish. And the other verse, there is a way that seems right to a man or a woman, but in the end, it leads to death. You know, Scrooge had a certain attitude about his monies, about his resources, about his personal security, and there had to be a disruption there, like I mentioned before. And you know, maybe this is how God needs to work in our life. He doesn't like to. God would rather just for us to understand what the Word says. He loves us. He wants us just to look at it and go, wow, that makes sense. I'm going to start obeying God here. But isn't it true many times? Hey, have any of you ever known someone where it took an absolute crisis in a marriage before the two people in that marriage really, really started to take it serious that they need to have some change? You know, I've worked with counselors before who were just pulling their hair out working with certain couples because they weren't taking serious the advice, they weren't taking serious the direction they should be going until all of a sudden, you know, he had to move out. Guess what? No more sex, no more food, no more security, all these things. And when the uncomfortableness started to happen and you're at have yet another night at a Motel 6, all of a sudden it's like, you know what? Maybe some changes need to be made here, and who knows what can happen from this. And I have seen some wonderful things happen, but disruption had to take place for people to really come to that point. Does that make sense to you all here? You know, so we can kind of set our own agenda. God, I want you to come in and make my family this way. I want you to come in and make my life this way and that way. But when God comes in and goes, no, I'm going to shine light on your marriage. I'm going to shine light on your friendships. I'm going to shine light on how you're doing your finances. What we tend to do when we have a Scrooge-like spirit is scurry toward the dark once again, because we don't really like that light in our life. We want to run toward the dark. That's a basic attitude. But let's look at Don here. Because what happened in the story is we have his dead partner come into his life, and he says, you're going to have these three Christmas spirits, right? You remember the story. And so Marley comes into his life, and he has chains on him. Have you ever heard that phrase, dead as a doornail? Comes right out of this book. It says, Marley was dead as a doornail. And it was just a great description. He was deader than dead, and he knew he was dead. In fact, when he was alive, he knew he was dead. And he came back to warn Scrooge. You know, have you ever seen the principle there for followers of Jesus? Maybe people we need to talk to, people we need to confront in our life and talk about some of these things of attitude and change that need to happen in their life. And he starts to talk to Scrooge about this, and this is Scrooge's reaction to him. But you were always a good man of business, Jacob. And this is, of course, Marley's reaction. Business, mankind was my business. See, he understands this now. Getting love right. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were my business. The mere dealings of trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business. Why did I walk through the crowds of fellow beings with my eyes turned down and never raise them to the blessed star which led the wise men to the poor abode? Were there no poor homes in England to which its light would have conducted me? And then he goes on and talks about the three spirits that Scrooge was going to have to see. Why did it take so long? Have you ever wondered that with Scrooge? You know, part of the story Dickens says is like, you know, why doesn't he get a hint here? I mean, how much more does he need to see before the lights start to turn on? And you know where Dickens got this whole idea of someone who seems to be so obstinate, so hard to learn, can't figure it out, and he keep going, can he see the issues? From the Old Testament, the whole story of the Israelites. Time and time again, God provides for the Israelites in the Old Testament. And what do the Israelites people do time and time again? They forget. They turn away from God. And so as you're reading the Old Testament, us here sitting on the sidelines are going, how could they be so dumb? Can't they see what God's doing for them? Don't they see what God did for them here, here, and here? And of course, what's the reason behind that story? What is God trying to do? He's trying to get us to go like this. Oh, this is a story of me. I can be like this sometimes. And Dickens is doing the same things with Scrooge, because all the way along we're going, can he see the pattern of his life? Can he see these things that have happened in his life? Can he get a clue of what's going on? And what Dickens is saying, as he understood well with his own life, is we tend to be who Scrooge is. And we tend to have these characteristics. So, but some things took place in his life, didn't they? Dawn, that's where we're at right now. Dawn was a new thing. And really what had to happen here, what Marley's job here was this. He had to get Scrooge to the point where he had a real broken heart. And it's fascinating how in our own lives, God will not just bring real conviction for areas where we've sinned against him. He'll take us back to memories of woundedness in our lives. You see, it's fascinating. It'd be wrong just to judge Scrooge for who he is. It was fascinating how if you go back in his life, you see what he was like as a child and the lack of love that he had received as a kid, and how all these things wrap together. And that's where the mercies of God come in. But when it comes to real deep, deep repentance within our lives, there must come a point of a deep grief and a real broken heart. And my concern for many of us is we're not Scrooge-like in our characteristics, most of us here. Couple, I'll tell you who they are after the service, okay? No, just kidding. They're not in the 8:30 service. 10 o'clock, watch out. Just kidding. All right. But we can be in our attitudes and our actions, but we're just a lot smoother about it. We're a lot cooler about it. And so it's a mystery to me, again, when people say they're followers of Jesus, but they're absolutely scared, spitless, that they're ever going to run short. And so they say, I never make enough money to tithe. And I'm going, really? Really? God's only asking 10%. This isn't going to me. Again, this is the idea of we are the richest generation ever in the history of humanity as Christians, with the greatest need of poverty around the world ever. And American Christians, if we were just to do this one basic thing, could wipe out world hunger. Bah humbug is the actions that come back in the local church. Because those that even say they're real Bible-believing Christians, on average, only give less than 3% of their income. And they get really, really offended. And when you bring this up, but when you look, where are you at today? You think about your deepest attitudes about money today. Where is your life circumstance today? Come on. Because what this whole story is about is absolute honesty. And what Dawn is about is letting the light really shine on these ugly areas in our lives where we can be Scrooge-like, even though we're much more smooth and polite out here. But there came a point for Scrooge, this is a quote from him, because what has happened, Dickens has done a great job of saying there will be a judgment someday, and I must, as your teacher, tell you that. I am required to tell you that. And you know what? As weird as it seems, I don't know if it's going to be a video playback or whatever, there will be a judgment someday, and there will be this thing, did you ever hear the warnings? And I don't, hopefully it's not my voice per se, but I want to be faithful to you. Everyone here will face this incredible, loving, creative God, but a God of justice. Everyone here will face judgment someday. Everyone here. As everyone's going to die, everyone will face judgment. And the Christmas Carol is really good at pointing that out. Even some of the modern versions just conveniently cut that part out. But I'm here to warn you that that's going to happen for each one of us. And Scrooge faced that in his life. And here was a quote. Scrooge says, men's courses will foreshadow certain ends to which if persevered in, they must lead, said Scrooge. But if the courses be departed from, the ends will change. Say it is true. Show me that this is true. And he's talking to the spirit of death. And then the key line, Spirit, he cried, clutching at his robe, hear me, listen, I am not the man I was. I will not be the man I must have been but for this intercourse. But show me this, if I am past all hope. Of course, then we find out that he wakes up and it was a dream. But there had to come a point where his heart was broken, had to come a point, you know, in the recovery it says where he hit bottom. And that's really where Scrooge came to. So how do we unscrooge our lives? Well, we need to really understand who our Savior is. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We need to run to the one who changes us. You know, we need to realize that we have some Scrooge in us, and then we need to run to the one who changes us. And really, that's very biblical, isn't it? At the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, in the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. In Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And that leads us to today, and it's a new beginning. Don't you love the end of a Christmas carol? And just how he completely changes, and he sees things for what they really are. How do we share Jesus' light with others? By showing a grateful attitude. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And then by having a generous spirit. Notice with Scrooge. We say, well, Scrooge is a really rich guy in his culture. Again, who are the rich people in our global culture? Who are they, you guys? Come on. It's Americans. I could take you on travels to 3 billion different people around the world to where they would look at you like we look at Bill Gates. And we might go, oh, you don't know what rich is. You need to know Bill Gates. And they're looking at you with an iPod. They're looking at you with good teeth. Yeah? They're looking at you with a haircut and with, you know, Nike shoes, Levi's. Are you kidding me? You know how much Levi's would sell somewhere around the world? I mean, our level of affluence, all of us are blind and we all want to look, I'm not rich, they're rich, not me. I'm just barely making it, they're rich, not me. And the world's looking at us, I would like to be poor like you. Okay? And we need to really, really understand what God's done. But the basic thing of change, how it manifests itself right away in a Christmas carol, is what? It's this absolute gleeful spirit of generosity. It's just pouring out of him. Isn't it true? And it's just this glee of just God blesses a cheerful giver because they understand how much has happened within their heart and life and what God has done for them. So that's really where we're at. In fact, I wrote it, so I just, this is such a great story. That's why I have so many quotes on it. I want to give you this last thing here from Dickens on this. It says, no fog, no mist, clear, bright, jovial, stirring, cold, piping for the blood to dance, golden sunlight, heavenly skies, sweet fresh air, merry bells, oh, glorious, glorious. This is Scrooge as he wakes up and he's looking out his window, and he's seeing things around him. What's today? Cries Scrooge, calling down to the boy, and we all heard it. He says, today, why, it's Christmas Day. He says, do you know the Poulters in the next street over at the corner? Well, I should hope I did, my intelligent boy. See how complimentary he is already? And he says, a remarkable boy. Do you know whether they've sold the prize turkey? What, the big one? The one as big as me, what a delightful boy. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Yes, my buck, go and buy it and tell him to bring it here. Come back with the man and I'll give you a shilling. Come back with him in less than 5 minutes and I'll give you a half a crown. In our culture, that's a lot of money, okay? Okay, and the boy was off like a shot, says, I'll send it back to Bob Cratchit's, which Scrooge said, rubbing his hands and splitting with a laugh. And what happened here is freed from death, old Scrooge was filled to the brim at last with life. And God has that for each one of us. You know, some of us can be a follower of Jesus a long time, and you need to have a reconversion of the joy of our salvation and the generosity that God has with each one of us. You know, this whole idea, salvation is a life of joy and generosity, giving toward others. This is what Dickens is trying to say for us. Look, it's not hard to understand. Even a child can understand it. Why not? Because a child came. A child came to this earth.